Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
Hey everybody, it's Bill Bailey with Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio, and I have the pleasure to be sitting here with my friend Vinny Stigma of Agnostic Front. How you doing, Vinny?
Bill, thank you very much for inviting me on your radio show, and you treated me to a nice dinner. You're a great guy. I know you a long time, and we're going to play a great show tonight. What's the place we're playing tonight?
The Grog Shop.
The Grog Shop, yeah.
Grog Shop.
I think I played here before.
Yeah, right? Yes, you have, yeah.
I knew it looked familiar.
Yeah, it's a Cleveland mainstay here.
Yeah, Cleveland's finest, that's for sure. So what's going on, kid? How you been?
Good, man. I've been doing really good. I mean, since last time when we met, you know, I was still active in the Navy, you know.
Right.
And been retired now for a little while, raising the kids. Got myself sober, trying to stay out of trouble, you know.
I hear you.
Teenage girls, man, you know. Yeah, I got teenage daughters.
You were telling me the time when I was on top of the bar in Manitoba's and it was jumping off and I was telling everybody. Can I curse?
Yes, you can.
I was telling everybody, this fucking guy's my friend. He's a fucking soldier. He went to fucking, he's a real hero. Oh, I forgot about that until you told me about that.
Yeah, it was my first time meeting you. I happened to be training up at Kings Point, New York, out there. And Frank was coming through with Terror at the time, Frankie Three Gun. And I went into town to meet up with him, and there were a couple other guys from Cleveland that were living there at the time. And you were there at the show, and then we went to Manitoba's. We just met. And then I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm still all like clean cut Navy looking, and I'm like with these dudes, and I'm like, oh man, Vinny's going to get me killed. You know?
I survived
from being overseas, and I'm going to get killed here in New York City at Manitoba's.
What a way to go, eh? I tell you. We had a good time that night. I remembered it. Yeah. And congratulations, Frankie Three Guns, on the win yesterday with the Gators.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of hanging out with him last night out in Erie. It's always a good time to see Frankie.
Great. Yeah, I love Frankie. As a matter of fact, we just did the 25th anniversary with Hey Breed. Obituary and Prong and Skeletal Remains.
Yeah.
And we had a great tour. A great tour. We killed it everywhere. It was just a good time. I love them guys.
Yeah, good guys for sure, man. And I heard you got to hear you on Jamie's podcast and stuff, and just loved it. Loved the energy, reminding me like, hey man, I gotta reconnect with my old buddy Vinny, man.
Yeah, I finally got your name in my phone because the number comes up, and you know, I'm Jimmy. The door's open. I left the bedroom door open, everybody out there, just in case anybody wants to come in and take a leak.
Yeah, so we're sitting here in the taqueria, you know, next door to the Grog Shop. We walked like half a mile looking for it. It was right next door. We passed it because we were too busy bullshitting.
I told you, I knew it was around here. I know this fucking neighborhood.
We had to get our blood going before this interview, you know. We had to get everything moving.
I don't like the tacos you ordered. I like the ones I ordered better.
He's
never been that late, Billy. That's why he don't know.
Yeah, San Diego's about the closest I've been.
Oh, that's good. That's good. San Diego's there. I'll be in San Diego soon.
Nice, Navy base out there. So
I'll be in there in December. This December with Prong on the 35th anniversary of our Victim in Pain album.
Yeah. And that's what this tour is tonight.
Tonight's our tour. We're celebrating 35 years of Victim in Pain. It's my first gatefold record. It's 16 minutes of horror at a time. At a tune, at a tempo, a piece of artwork. That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
It was a capsule. It was a piece of time that was captured.
So 35 years. I mean, that's a long time, And I wanted to talk a little bit about your early inspiration to be a musician. I mean, back when you were just still crawling the floor and everything. Yeah. What was when did you know you wanted to be a musician? Who was it that inspired you to pick up a guitar and start playing?
Well, my first things were, like, I always liked guitars, but I always had an acoustic guitar. And my uncles played acoustic guitars, but okay, I always wanted an electric guitar.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I used to have these Enrico Caruso records. And when you hear Enrico Caruso sing opera,
oh yeah,
forget about it. It's forget about Pavarotti, Domingo, Carreras. Those are the three tenors. Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah. Every, you know, I can name all three of them. I know all of them.
That's what you grew up around. Huh?
I wanted to be an opera singer because I just feel it. I speak Italian, you know, yeah. I understand it. It's tragic. It's very hardcore opera.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's very,
no, it
you
is.
Know, you know, like tango. Tango's another tough music. Like, I'm talking besides hardcore, like old punk, you know. These musics are real underground and they're really strong.
It made you feel it.
They made me feel it, and I felt like, yeah, yeah, you know, I could, you know, I get my blood going. Like I always say, you can't lift weights to Celine Dion.
No, you can't. Huh?
Agnostic Front, you can run the mile in 2 seconds. You know what I mean? You can lift weight, you know, this.
Yeah, yeah.
You could sink your teeth into it.
You guys are on my workout playlist for sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's for real. You feel it, so it's a good thing.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So then, you know, early on, then you know, that inspired you to pick up the guitar. And then let's talk about some of your early times.
No, wait a minute. Then, you know, Enrico Caruso, Frank Sinatra. And then I got into rock and all that bullshit, right? I got a guitar, and finally got an electric guitar for $90. It was a Fender Mustang, a blue Fender with a light blue stripe, a racing stripe on it. I thought I was the coolest motherfucker on the planet. Had an alligator case. I wish I had that guitar with the case is worth a lot of money. And anyway, Jimi Hendrix. That was the guy. Jimi Hendrix was my guy for guitar, and Bruce Lee was my guy for fighting.
Ooh.
Tough guy, tough guitar, you know?
You guys have played Seattle and visited.
No, I didn't, but I will.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing, you know, part of my training and my recovery and helping me to be able to come here and start doing this type of stuff again. Because I was, you know, I struggle a lot with anxiety. That's why I related a lot to Roger in the film, which we're going to get to. But this place based out in Seattle, Washington, Wellness Institute, has helped me with a lot of the therapy to help me with my anxiety. And I was out there last year for some training, and I stayed a couple extra days, and I stopped and saw Jimi Hendrix. Memorial there is really nice.
Bruce
and
Lee,
I stopped
where's he
at
laid out?
Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee are together. And
in
I forgot
Seattle?
The name in Seattle. I forgot the name of the cemetery.
I got to go there.
Yeah,
day.
Yeah. I'll have to. I'll
and thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you, my friend.
When I go to, Seattle years ago, I used to go up to the Needle. Now, here's how you get up there for free, because they charge you to go up to the Needle.
Okay.
I go up there to the restaurant, and I say, Vinny Stigma, party of 10, and then I just walk out to the thing, and then, and I'm hanging around, and I'm looking at all the view, and all of a sudden I hear, Vinny Stigma, party of 10, and I say, never mind, we're not going to go, and then I run away.
Oh, I'm going to have to remember that, because I haven't done the Needle yet. I'm gonna
I know,
do
but I don't know
thing.
If you could do it now because of the 9/11 stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, 9/11 just passed.
Yep.
You know, it was a tough September for me, because 9/11, and friends of mine died. My friend Johnny the Fireman died, and a bunch of other people. My friend Anthony, you know, they were in the towers. That was 9/11. 9/15, my mother died.
Oh,
and 9/22, just the other day, my friend Frenchie passed away. So it was a horrible September for me.
Oh, man, sorry.
Anyway, we went on tour right after that in October, after like a couple of weeks. And I was so glad to be out of New York City, you know, because of I live right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look out my window, you see the Twin Towers. I still see them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I still see them. And when they put the blue lights on, you know, like during the night, you know.
The anniversary.
I go on my roof and I look, and it's like those lights shoot up to heaven.
Yeah.
And it's like really like spiritual for me, you know?
Oh, I bet.
And I go up there and, you know, I make a prayer and, you know, I think of my friends that passed, you know?
Yeah, it had to be rough, man.
Yeah, you know, the whole fire department just around the corner from me got wiped out.
Yeah, I remember when I was there for that training. I mean, we had that one night we just spoke about, but I got to go in my uniform with some friends touring, and they let us in to, you know, that they had the memorial, the firefighters with the line across, but they wouldn't let you, civilians couldn't get in there.
Right,
but
right,
because
right.
We were in uniform, they invited us back. I mean, New York, open arms, man. We're good.
Oh, yeah.
So it good was, to it us. Was, really appreciate it.
A special time, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, when you first started playing in a band then. I think it was the
right,
Eliminators.
I first started playing in a band was the Rough Riders. You know the Rough Riders songs were Roll Out the Barrel. That was Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay,
he was one of the Rough Riders. I grew up back. I'm old school. I love all that shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were kids. We weren't in a real band. But my first real band was Black Angus. It was all the Italian boys from the neighborhood. Vinny Stigma, Sally Donuts, Frankie Hero, Johnny Saponaro. You know, us boys. And we used to wait for, just yesterday finished, the San Gennaro Feast. It's like a Mardi Gras thing, but all Italian.
Okay, okay.
You know, years ago. And I used to wait for that feast because that was like my big show.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it was like
in front of everybody.
All the neighborhood used to come see me, and I was so proud, you know.
Oh, I bet.
Now I look at the feast, I'm so glad I run away.
Yeah,
they're selling Afghan rugs, pocketbooks, clothes.
So you know what I mean? Commercialized.
Yeah, it got commercialized. Yeah. Forget about it.
Yeah,
and as
like
a matter of fact, on 9/15, when my 9/11, when my mom passed on 9/15, they didn't have the feast that year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I was glad because I was not in the fucking mood.
No, I bet.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just finished the other day the feast, and I always try to book myself out of New York
during that time now.
During the feast, and I never do because my tour ends just boom, and like a couple of days later the feast. So finally, I'm so glad to be here with you.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you, man. It's good to connect again. Tell me a little bit about the early days when Agnostic Front got started.
Well, we're dropping a new album on November 8th. It's called Get Loud. And a lot of it is the story, in a way, there's songs about the story that reminds us of our... We talk about our old days on there and stuff like that. And in case you didn't see, we have a movie streaming on Showtime called The Godfather's a Hardcore. It's really doing really well. It shot to number one. It was like, wow, I can't believe I got a fucking number one on Showtime. That's fucking awesome. You know, never, who thought, you know?
It's amazing. It is amazing.
So we speak of like our family, the struggles of our lives, you know, Agnostic Front, shot, stabbed, imprisoned. That's a hardcore band.
Yeah.
We've been in prison. We've been shot. We've been stabbed, you know? So, like, you know.
So you are the Godfathers. You guys earned title, for sure.
You know, we're waiting for now our 40th anniversary coming up after, you know, within a year and a half, 2 years. So, you know, I'm so fucking old. I used to change Willie Nelson's diapers. That's my new saying now.
That's your new thing now?
Yeah, I always say that.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah, no, you heard it there first. You could ask that fucking cocksucker.
So let's talk about the family, like the friendships you made, and then the family in the entire New York hardcore scene. You guys are all like, you know, it's like a brotherhood branched out in many different like units.
Never thought it'd go worldwide. Like for instance, here I am in Cleveland with you.
Yeah.
I love you. You're my brother. You call me, I call you. Now, if talk about Frankie Tree Guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go to the West Coast. We got the
I just want to say something real quick, too, because about us calling each other and everything. I mean, I can get all these Christmas cards from family and people I don't ever see, but when I get that Vinnie Stigma voicemail wishing me happy holidays and Merry Christmas, that means
cool.
a lot
Thank
to me,
you
brother.
Very much.
Appreciate it.
You know, as a matter of fact... Speaking of which, I crank call people. You know, like if you come to my show and you tell me, yeah, Vinny, my friend could make it, get him on the fucking phone.
Yeah.
And I crank call. So I crank called this guy, right? Hey, whatever. Now, I'm playing in Florida, and I'm hanging out with Corey Graves, and I'm hanging out with all these rock stars. So Mike Gallo comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder, says, hey, Vinny, there's a guy downstairs who wants to talk to you. I said, yeah, excuse me. I'm talking to my friends over here. He says, no, Vinny, there's a guy downstairs. I say, okay, I go. I go downstairs. I see this fucking guy, a giant. He said, I walk up to him. He says, you're Stigma, right? I says, yeah. He says, you crank called me. I says, I did. He says, you don't understand. I was in Iraq when I got that fucking crank phone call. Mm. You don't know, Vinny, it meant a lot to me. I played it over and over, and I let all the fellas know that you're my hero, you're a great guy, and the crank phone call, it was really cool, and he started crying, I started crying, his wife was crying, Gallo runs away, you know? Because like when I called like somebody, I'm like if you didn't come to my, hey, yeah, cocksucker, you didn't come to my show, I'm going to come fucking get you and break your fucking leg. You know, I talk shit. Crank phone call just for fun.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And a little thing like that, a little stupid thing like that, you know, it means a lot to people, and it means a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know, it means a lot to me, too, that I could be there for somebody, you know. I'm always there. Just the other night, I played Chicago with the Ugly Bones, a little punk rock band. And I made friends with them. And they says, you know, no other bands ever talk to us. What do you mean they never talk to you? You know, what the fuck? Who the fuck are they not to talk? Hey, if you need to use the bathroom? Hey, where's the bathroom? You know, where can I get coffee? We help the kids out. They needed wires or they needed a tune their guitar, whatever the fuck, I do it.
Somebody helped you guys along the way, right? Yeah, you know, it's about paying it back, you know?
My door is always open until it's closed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yogi Berra got to throw that in there, you know?
And it's only closed if you did something.
Well, it's only closed, in case of, get paid or somebody's with a.
Yeah.
I was doing something bad in there, you know? I'm not going to say what, but whatever. but, no way. I love making friends, and I don't understand these people that don't make friends. What the fuck their fucking problem? It really bothers me.
You only walk this planet one time, from what I understand, you know?
Right.
So it's like network. Reach out, you know? I mean, because you reached out to me and connected with me, man, it's just like, it's meant so much, and now we're able to be here right now doing this.
Yeah, you know? Right. Not only that, I got a free dinner out of it.
Yes, sir. So let's talk a little bit about your relationship with Roger. You know, you guys go back a long way, you know? I could see, you know, watching that documentary, you know,
Yeah, I'm looking at the Cuban flag right here. They got all the flags up. The Colombian flag, the Cuban flag.
The
flag. There's the Cuban. Hey, Roger, there he is. I got to take a picture, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let me tell you something. What a sweetheart of a guy. You know, from the minute I met him, I just went up to him. I've seen him come to CBGB's, and he used to mosh around in the pit. And I mosh around in the pit. And we made friends in the pit. And then all of a sudden I said, hey, I like this guy. I want him in my band. And boom. I sent some kid over to him and said, come get him over here.
Yeah.
I was like, I was really like a mafia guy. You know? I'm bad like that. So he comes over, I says, you're in a band? He says, yeah, I'm in the band Psychos. I said, yeah, but now you're in my band. And that was it.
We've been together. Just got promoted.
It'll be 40 years soon. And there's no money, no ego, no jealousy. Like I see with all these bands, whether it's political, religious, social, none of that fucking shit. He's my brother. I don't care what he believes in. I don't care what he eats. I don't give a shit what he does. I don't care if you don't even take a shower. Yeah. I love the guy. And that's about it. And we're very involved. Roger's got the Rumbler Car Club. You know, he also has the Alligators. He does side things. The Alligators, they're hard, straight up hardcore. And he did the Disasters. I do Stigma Band, my thing. It's like a Rat Pack type thing. But I'm like the Frank Sinatra hardcore, you know?
Yeah.
And I got the New York hardcore tattoos.
Yeah, which I wanted to get to.
You know, that's why we do the NYH. People from all over the world come to get the NYH. Where are you going to go? You got to go to New York hardcore tattoos to get New York hardcore tattoo.
Yeah, I went and got, I didn't have the opportunity when I was out there for that training the one time to get a tattoo, but I picked up a t-shirt and stuff. Had to go, took pictures, and this was back before cell phones, you know.
I had to go develop the
stuff. I mean, I got pictures of the towers and all that stuff still. You know. It's just like, you know, it's a place for to definitely stop, man.
Yeah, no, it's a place for us.
Yeah.
You know, you can find out what's going on. You go there, it's easy to make a friend there. It ain't one of them snot-nosed tattoo shops. And that's another reason why I like it.
Yeah.
Because I don't go for that shit when you walk in there and it's quiet and everybody looks at you and, you know, they think who the fuck they are.
Go fuck yourself,
motherfucker. I was fucking tattooed before you were shitting in your diapers.
Yeah. So, like, let's talk about the inspiration of putting that together, the New York Hardcore Tattoos, and opening that business.
Because CBGB was going to be closing, we knew it was coming, and I just wanted to do something for give back or, you know, establish something, like the Bulldog in Amsterdam. New York Hardcore Tattoos in New York City.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah over here.
Like the Mecca, the holy ground almost for hardcore.
Exactly.
You know, it's like CBGB's is going. There's still a place we can go and we can worship and feel the energy, you know, and the vibe.
You know, and you're going to go in there, you're going to hear, like, bring your own records, by the way. You know what I mean? We played them, you know. We do the radio station out of there every now and again.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? We have, like, we had the parties. We had the 20th anniversary of New York Hardcore. We were given tattoos for $20.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. The little New York hardcore.
Tell you what, it's on my bucket list, man. I'm going to make it back.
It's definitely
out there
a bucket
some,
list thing for know? Like punk hardcore.
I still got skin left, you know?
Yeah, you got a lot
plenty.
Of canvas.
Yeah. So definitely got to make it come out there.
I mean, by the way, everybody who don't know what Bill Bailey looks like, he's got a face for radio. I want everybody to know that.
Thank you. That's why I don't do the videos. This is why we do the audio recording and stuff.
He leaves that to me, the good-looking guy over there. Mr. Handsome.
Now, did you expect New York Hardcore Tattoos to become such an underground landmark as it's become? Or?
Yes and no. No, because I'm not really a good business guy. You know, and I'm always on the road.
Yeah.
But yes, because New York Hardcore is worldwide.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and they always, you know that old adage, build it, they come.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But you got to build it. You got to take that jump. You got to make the jump. If you don't make the jump, forget about it. You can talk about it all you want. You got to talk it. You got to walk it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And believe me, I struggled. You know, I had to meet that payroll.
Yeah.
I had to keep that door open. I had to keep the lights on, no matter if it come out of my pocket or not. You know what I mean? Because people work for me. That's my responsibility.
Yep.
Now, throughout the years, I got great artists. It's a worldwide known place.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, like you mentioned hanging out with Corey Graves earlier. I was watching a special on WWE Network with Corey Graves, and he went to New York Hardcore Tattoo and is hanging out with you and stuff on there.
So Vampiro's
it's like
a good friend of mine.
That audience, you know?
Right. I just talked to Vampiro the other day, too. He's got a hardcore band now kicking.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I was watching some of Lucha Underground with him and stuff like
By
that.
By the way, everybody, I wrestled Johnny Valiant in the back of my tattoo shop. You could Google it up or whatever the fuck you want to do. Johnny Valiance.
I remember Johnny Valiance.
Oh, you got to see it. It's a great video.
I never knew about that. I got to find that.
You Google
YouTube
it up, they will. Okay, you shit your pants.
Awesome.
He breaks a 2x4 over my head and everything.
Oh, great. I'll have to shoot you a video of one of our local Psycho Mike wrestlers where he hit me in the head with a brick and I bled and stuff like that.
Oh, you're awesome. I love you. No wonder why I like you.
We got a lot in common, brother. So let's talk some about, we mentioned it a couple times, the Godfather's a Hardcore documentary, and I just got to tell you, you know, like you mentioned that story with the person in Iraq, you know, I watched that and I felt it in my heart, you know, because I got the pleasure to get to know you, man, and there's a lot of parts in there where I got very teary-eyed, you know, thinking about you guys and, you know, the struggle that Roger deals with, you know, knowing my own stuff with my family and my own battles with anxiety and mental health, and then watching you and your history there. It was such an amazing to to see everything you guys have endured to get where you are today.
Yeah, it was a struggle. It really was a struggle at the time. But don't forget, we're going back to the early 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Like early 80s. And
it was a much different time.
We're traveling through Texas. But the thing is with me, I laid a lot of groundwork because I go there and I meet a guy like you.
Yeah.
And I make a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Bada boom. There you go.
You know, I mean, even if I didn't. If we didn't have the relationship that we have, and I watched that, it was so well done,
yeah.
And it's just like to see the struggles behind the scenes.
Yeah,
with the
it is.
And
you wouldn't
man.
Think that even people that don't know nothing about hardcore or punk, then they watch it, they get it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, Danny from Biohazard called me up. You know, Danny the drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, "Hey, Vinny, it was great. This and the other thing." He says, "Me and my wife watched it. My wife was crying." I said, "Shut up, you baby. You were crying too. Don't give me that shit, you."
Hey, I was crying, man. Yeah, I admit it.
Yeah. Me too. Got what first couple of times I saw it, it was
If there's something like, and you know, one of the questions I normally ask, and that let's just keep talking about this, and I'll get to that. But you know, the rawness of it, with Roger, it was like, you know, when he had to leave, when he leaves his kids, it's like I understood when I had to leave my daughters and I got deployed for the military. It's almost a similar thing, like the family serving.
The little kid,
you know?
Crying.
Ooh, that really hit home with me,
you know,
and everything.
Like, you see us packing up our little bags and we got to go do what we got to do. And
But man, it was just like, it's so well done. And if people haven't seen it, please, you know, look it up, get it, you know, order it online. I know, I want to order a hard copy, even though I ordered it on streaming and watched it. But it's amazing, man. It hit home so much. And that was another reason why I told myself, I'm like, you know, nothing is promised. Tomorrow is not promised to us.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
And, with me being in a program of recovery, I learned to focus on just these 24 hours today. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't do nothing about the past.
Yeah,
the past is behind me.
Right.
Can't do nothing about us passing Taqueria and walking halfway down the street to realize it was right next
door.
You should
know better. You're from here.
Hey, I'm West Side. Yeah. But we only got today. And and I was watching it. And I was like, you know, Vinny's in town. I got today. I'm going to make the time to come spend time with Vinny and see Vinny because I don't know.
No, thank you very much.
Really. You know.
And anybody out there who's listening to this podcast, you come, man. We'll hang around. I hang around with everybody. I talk to everybody. I love talking to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a windbag. I love talking to people, you know? That's my job, like I feel. Like, you know, go out and make a friend.
That was one of your gifts, man.
Just the other day when we were playing, Cincinnati. And people I know 35 years ago, they come out. And they say, "Vinny, we're so glad we came out. We haven't been going. They're older.
Yeah.
And they say, we go out. We feel so good. They got a little, they had a couple of drinks. They seen the show. You know what I mean? You feel 20 years younger and 30 pounds lighter. You know what I mean? After you see my show, those kind of people. A lot of old school people. And I'm glad a lot of the old school pay homage and I pay homage to them, you know, it's really cool. And of course, the new kids, just like Ugly Bones the other day in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
We need kids like that.
Yeah, somebody's got to pick up the torch,
See, I never liked it when I'm an old school punk rocker.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back to the Johnny Thunders, Frankie Cadillac, Vinny Stigma, I'm the old school.
Yeah.
Right? So when punk the old school, it kind of looked glam to it. When they turned to hardcore, when punk turned to hardcore, and like the older punks, when the younger kids were coming around, they like had a little attitude to them. It was like, yo, what the fuck you thinking, man? They here, they're with us.
Yeah.
They're with us. You know? They didn't want to make the jump. That's the fucking problem. You got to like have an open mind. Thank God I got a new album because I want to play new music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure, I played This Is the Victim in Pain tour and I'm doing 35 years. I do the album, The Victim in Pain. But it's nice that we've got a new album coming out.
Yeah, you're an artist. You still got to create.
Yeah,
you can't keep it inside. You got stuff to still release. You have a story still to tell.
The story must be told.
Yes. And that's like part of you know, the legacy that you're going to leave behind, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, how do you want Vinny Stigma to be remembered, you know? Yeah.
That's why I always be a good guy.
Yeah.
That's why I always try to help somebody. You know what I mean? I would never want anybody to say, "Oh, who he thinks he is?" Or he's a rock star. Like that. That would hurt me, even if I don't know about it.
Well, just when we were walking down the street, coming back after, you know, looking for this place next door, like I said, you know, and the people that came up, you know, hey, you know, wanted to shake your hand and see you and everything. You were great with everybody, you know.
The guy with the cigar, I got to get him later.
Yeah. We'll get him.
Vinny Stigma with Cigar Club.
Yeah, he's sticking around. It looked like so, but yeah, man, you know. So I want to ask some of the questions that I normally ask in my program to everybody, and you know, like morning ritual routine. Is there something that either on the road or at home that you like to do regularly?
A ritual I do.
Yeah.
Before I go on stage, I got to tie my shoes because I hate when my shoes, you know, I got to wash my hands. And what else I got to do? I do something else. If I could brush my teeth, I brush my teeth. I don't know why.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I'm a clean guy anyway, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But that's just
those are kind of routine things
to start your day to try and make sure you're going to have the best day possible.
I wake up late.
You like sleeping in, yeah.
Take a shower. I love showering. I'm a shower guy. Oh man, they complain. My whole band. I'm always in the shower. Shut the fuck up, you filthy cocksucker. So, I like to eat. Mm-hmm. I like to cook. I'm a gourmet chef.
You went to school for that back in the day too, right?
Yeah, I got thrown out, but I went there. I had a beef with the fucking executive chef. Cocksuckers, is my grandmother didn't know how to cook, so I cracked them away with a fucking frying pan.
You watch any of these the cooking shows, competitions
them.
Or whatever?
Because
I could just imagine you being a contestant, man.
I don't like
that. That'd be ratings though, hitting them with the frying pan.
I'll stop beef right there. I'll stab the motherfucker with a kitchen knife. I don't like yelling in the kitchen. Cooking's supposed to be enjoyed and relaxed, and everybody get involved, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a family. It's a friend.
It's a ritual. It's the showing of love for your family. You're creating.
And you got to enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I peel the potatoes. I take a five. I go watch TV. I come back. I do something. I make a little sauce. I let the sauce cook. I go over here. Then I do it. And then you build it up.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have the nice dinner.
Yeah. So out of all your travels throughout the world, what's been one of your favorite places that you've ever visited that you've just not only, I mean, you just felt it in your bones, like a different energy, like when you step
personally. I get that question a lot, and to be honest with you, I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I have a good time everywhere.
You bring it with you. You are the energy.
With me. Yes. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I'll eat the food. I'll make the friend.
Yeah.
I'll drink the whatever they drink.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's beer here or wine there, whatever the hell you drink, I'll do it.
Yeah, you've got that figured out. You know, a lot of people think if I change the scenery, my life will get better, this and that. But you know that wherever
you
go,
yourself.
There you are.
You got to change yourself, not the scenery. You know.
So you got it figured out. Yeah. That's good to hear. So let me ask you, three people who've inspired you or that you think you can credit for making you the person that you are today. Who's three people that you'd like to give
besides
that credit
like
to?
My mom and things like that, like, you know, like whatever... there's a lot in threes, like my grandparents, my family, those threes. Then there's like Paulie Mandel, like my grandfather, my flying pigeons, my pigeon coops, and Johnny Saponaro. He was a little bit older than me. We were in a band together. He kind of started me off playing, like taught me scales and stuff like that, you know.
Is it that taco talking back?
Yeah, that's the taco. That's that taco talking to you. And, you know, a lot of people, even if it's artists like Caruso, the inspirations. Listen, there's a lot of inspiration out of me. I love that shit they come out PMA. What, as opposed to negative? Are you fucking kidding me? What are we, Dianetics over here? That's that fucking Scientology bullshit. Yeah, yeah. PMA. Go fuck yourself. Like, you really got to say PMA. Like, really? Yeah, less is more. Okay, sure.
Yeah, no.
Go fuck yourself.
But it's all inside, man. It's all the perspective.
Yeah, really. Come on. Yeah. You know right from wrong. You know what to do. We all want the best for ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, you gotta give to receive.
Exactly.
You know?
In order to
it's
have
a flow.
A friend,
there's a flow.
You gotta be a friend.
Exactly.
That's what are you just gonna have friends? No, you gotta be a friend too.
Yeah.
You know, your friend like Frankie.
Yeah.
He likes the Gators. I called him up the other day. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Because he likes the football team. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm a Yankees fan. My friend, the Boston Red Sox, they go, I call my friends, oh, good for you guys. Because if I'm not happy, my friend is happy.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
Yep.
Yabish.
There's a flow, the energy flow.
It comes back.
It comes
boomerangs.
Back. Yes, it does.
You know?
Yes, it does.
You hurt my friend, you hurt me.
Yep.
That's how it works with me.
Yeah. You know? So let me ask you, when you were a child, what was your favorite toy and why?
I soldiers, and I used to play army all the time.
Yeah.
I love playing army.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I build models. I was a model. I used to build the old wooden ships.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And I used to belong to Polk's Hobby Store, and I believe it's in Ohio.
Okay.
You could look that up, maybe.
Okay,
Polk's Hobby Store. And they used to send away.
Okay.
And they used to send me models in the mail. I used to get the model. I had to paint. I used to do all the
rigging. Did you ever do any of those ships inside the glass?
No, I didn't do those. But I did all the rigging and all that stuff. I didn't do the wooden. They were the plastic model ones.
Okay.
I had maybe a couple of wooden ones. I didn't get that advanced, but the one they were nice.
But it took creativity and thinking back then.
Know?
Now it's like the kids
don't
know what they're missing.
I did old Ironside.
Okay, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when I was in fucking Boston, I went to old Ironside. It's the oldest, you know, you're from the Navy. It's the oldest active ship in the American fleet, free to get on.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a flag for $25. You hoist the flag. They salute the flag. They take the flag down. They fold it up. They give you the flag and the certificate. The best $25 to support the ship.
Mm.
Yeah, and I gave it to my cousin, who was a Ranger, Army Ranger. And it's in the store in Texas, near Fredericks, Texas, in a place called Texas Silver Rush. My cousin Joe owns a jewelry store down there, and he, you know, they make jewelry, and his son was in Afghanistan, Iraq, or whatever. I don't know exactly, but and my cousin also served like 20 years, flying over to DMZ in Korea.
Oh, okay.
He was.
Yeah.
They were Air Force, but my other cousin was a Ranger.
Oh.
I'll show you pictures later. I got him right here.
He's awesome.
I'm so proud.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so being a New York guy, you got Madison Square Garden, which is like the mecca for this. I have to ask you, who's your favorite wrestler?
Bruno Sammartino.
I kind of figured it would
be. He sold out Madison Square Garden more than anyone, even more than Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And more than all of them.
Yeah.
He almost 200 times he sold it out.
And you saw him?
No, only on TV.
No, okay.
Yeah, only on TV. I want to go to his. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to. I'll be in Pittsburgh Tuesday.
Okay.
I got tomorrow off. I got a lot of things to do. You know, I got to redo my guitar. I got to put wheels on my cabinet. I got to do laundry. I got a bottle of wine. I got a cigar.
Yeah.
I got to do all that. And then the next day, we're going to be in Pittsburgh, so I want to see if I could get to Bruno Sammartino's restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, I always go to the Pomonti's, but I want to go to I want to go to Bruno's restaurant. I'm going to call ahead and have my friend Nicky the Knife take
me. You got to take a picture and send it to me.
Oh, yeah, I will. All don't right. worry about it. I got, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Now that I know who I'm talking to on the phone.
Yeah, now you know who's texting.
Yeah, I'm the worst. I love it.
I'm in there now.
Good thing you put your name that I know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the fuck? Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to meet this guy.
I don't know. Might get mugged over here.
He's getting set up.
Yeah.
So we talked, about, we mentioned your family that has served. One of my visions and goals I'm hoping to be, because myself being a veteran, is I know when I was serving overseas, I would put in my headphones and I'd listen to certain podcasts. I had friends back here in the Cleveland area that were doing one, talking about stories of, growing up. We all went to high school together and stuff. And I would lay in my bunk and I would listen to those stories. And it would make me feel like I was back home.
Right,
it would take
me
away from all the shit going on around
me. Yeah, I hear
it. And help me focus
like
the crack
on phone home. Call, right?
Yeah,
I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Believe me, I
it
understand
helped take
that.
My mind off. So one of my goals for this podcast is I want to do the same. I'm trying to give back to the guys over there. I'm trying to reach them that they start listening and stuff like that.
And fellas, if you're out there, listen, thank you for your service. We're here for you. We love you. I love you. If you could ever come see Agnostic Front, please do. I play a lot of times in Stuttgart, Germany. There's a lot of bases down there. I've been around before Operation Shrink Wrap. And, I'm there for the fellas. Anytime you come, I treat you like, oh, you come right backstage with me. No problem. I get it. I understand. And once again, thank you for your service. I pass through Grand Central Station. Of course, sometimes I got to go places here or there.
Yeah.
And I see a soldier. I always tip my hat and I always say, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
You have to do that. You have to do
it. I got that treatment myself first time I met you. And I'm, forever grateful for that. Yeah. And you knew exactly what I was leading up to, because that was I was going to ask you if you had a message you wanted to send over to the guys overseas. You just did. Thank you.
You don't have to ask me that question. No. It comes right out of me.
From the heart, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate
always.
I think we pretty much talked about most everything I had on here for you. If you we covered everything. We can go ahead and get ready and wrap this up so you can go get your cigar. But let's talk about real quick, where can people that are new, that maybe just getting an Agnostic Front for the first time, where can they go?
Generation Records in New York City is a great place for them to go.
Or online and stuff. They
I don't
order
know the
hard
online
copies.
Shit.
You don't know any of that,
yeah,
huh?
I'm old school.
You
gotta go there.
Yeah. You gotta go there, get a hard copy.
I used to hand out flyers. And somebody handed me an old school flyer. This band's playing, that band's playing, Agnostic Front. It was a Agnostic Front flyer. And on it said, if you don't show up, Vinnie Stigma says you're mocked. Yeah, because when people didn't show up at the show, where were you? I was crazy like that. I love it.
Nice.
I'm so involved,
And yeah, I mean, there's something to actually owning a piece, putting the work in to get it, and having a solid product in your hand.
Yeah.
There's something, the art and everything that was put into it. Now with the streaming and everything, kind of takes,
you can enjoy
the sound and the music, but
what they're doing now is they make records, but they give you the SIM card.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So you get both the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
What I mean? So, I like that. That's what we do now. Stuff like that.
Well, yeah. And like I was telling you earlier, I love the documentary so much and I wanted to watch it. So I rented it on the stream and watched the streaming on there. But I want to have a hard copy. I want to have something
So
I'm definitely going to order
it. Thank you for
that. Support that. Because like I said, it's something I want to share with family.
Thank you to all the people who helped support that documentary. Believe me, it's just not my story or Roger's story. It's a story of all of us. It's what we struggle for, what we believe in. This is our platform. This is what we have. This is our voice. This is what we believe in. So stand together. We stand with you. And I hope I see you at the next hardcore show. I'll see you in the pit. They throw me in the pit now. Everybody runs around me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. We started doing that a little while ago.
Yeah. Pass that energy, that love.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get rid of me, my band. They're trying to impeach me, but they'll never get rid of me.
No, man. That's the recharge. They know they're you're getting some of that energy to keep going. Vinny Stigma's immortal, man. Hey, one last favor I want to ask you. If you could do a promo ID for this radio show for us.
What does it say? What does that say? And to introduce yourself.
Yeah, Vinny Stigma.
That's my introduction of it. Are you listening? Oh, and are you listening to Boondoggle?
Today's Boondoggle.
Are you listening to Today's Boondoggle? Excuse me.
No, it's Today's Boondoggle. It's not a question. It's like
I know that. But yeah. I'm questioning them, not me. On what? Domain Cleveland Radio. On Domain Cleveland Radio. Yeah, you better fucking listen to the Boondoggle. I'll come boondoggle your face, you fuck. Billy, thank you very much, my friend. I love you. You're a great guy.
Thank you, man. I love you too, brother. And thank you for this time. I greatly appreciate it. I'm glad we got this done. And, man, it just... Let's go do sound check. Yeah, let's go do sound check, man.
Take care, thank you again, brother.
For tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.